2 Corinthians chapter 10. Three, four, and five. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God. Well, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, here's where I want you to be, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you know you are only one thought away from depression? You understand that? You're all just one thought away from being depressed, what doctors would classify depression. Now listen to me. I believe the word that came to me this morning while worshiping said, you take captive every thought until you are convinced that all your thoughts originate with me. See, there will be a time in your life when your thoughts will originate from God. But until that day, you need to build a habit of taking every thought into captivity, because those thoughts that are running through your head are pulling you down. You don't have to follow what your mind tells you. Your mind is given to you by God as a servant. But until you learn to take captive every thought, pull down those silly arguments that's going on inside your head, begin to make your mind be quiet. Until you're able to do that, you are serving your mind. Isn't that crazy? Like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the servant struggles to keep up while the servant rides the horse. And there you are, struggling to keep up while your mind is just riding along. Do you realize your mind is the source of every issue you will ever face? It doesn't come to you from the outside in, it comes to you from the inside out. Do you realize your mind is the source of insanity? What you contain and what you allow your mind to do is going to declare whether you're going to act sane or insane, whether you're going to be straight on with somebody or something less. See, sanity and insanity, the fine line there is just what are you willing to do with your mind? Don't go into this believing that insanity is all because of chemical imbalances and crazy things going on. No. Your mind is either going to serve you or you are going to serve it. Your mind is either going to believe truth or lies. The more lies you believe, the more conflicted you become. The more conflicted you become, the more unsocial you become or insane. Depression is merely, and I don't say merely to minimize it. I know it's powerful. I've been there. But all it is you being unwilling to make your mind be quiet. It's that simple. I don't care what the diagnosis. I don't care what the label. I don't care. See, labels and diagnosis just soothe your conscience. Well, I'm okay to be like I am because now I've got a label. Now I can rely on something somebody does for me to make me better. No, you can't. You never will. Nobody will ever make you better. You and God will make you better. You take captive every thought, or your thoughts will lead you right back to where you came from. It's that simple. See, life is not supposed to be complicated. Man has complicated life. Religion has complicated life. Life is supposed to be you and God connected.
Matthew 11:28-30.
You and God connected. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Is that what it says, John? And I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon me. I'm gentle. I've heard that. I've heard that line preached. Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30 preached all about how it'll, you know, hook yourself up to the master and he'll show you how to work. It's not what it's about. My yoke is my specialty teaching. Back in the day when Jesus, and I suppose maybe even today, rabbis have what they call a yoke. And that yoke is their specialty or their responsibility. And he said, take my yoke, my responsibility, take my teaching upon you. And you will find rest for your souls. A person that doesn't have rest in his soul can be somebody's going to diagnose as insane. I've been to an insane asylum, not as a patient, but a guest. I had to choose my words carefully. And I've watched how the power of God can change insanity to sanity that fast. And it all has to do with what's in your mind. Every bit of it. So I want to draw your attention, I believe the Lord did too this morning, to take captive those thoughts and pull down those arguments and take all that junk that sets itself above the knowledge of God. What is some stuff that sets itself above the knowledge of God? What is it? Worry would set yourself, what set, be setting something up above the knowledge of God. What else?
Fear.
Fear always is setting itself up above God. I'm tougher than God. You got to pay attention to me. No, fear will cause you to produce what you're afraid of. What else sets itself above the knowledge of God?
Pride.
Pride? How about the idea that I can't do this? I just can't do this. I just can't do this. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are believing the truth when you say, I can't. But I can through Christ. See, the whole truth is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Understand? So add the rest of it and make a truth out of it. Listen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8 talks about be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. See, that's all you're doing when you're letting these thoughts go through your mind, and most of the time here at the altar, you're just worrying. Crying out to God because you're worrying, but if you would just begin to say, mind, shut up. I can't do anything about what you're showing me. I'm not there. But God is. And begin to praise Him and thank Him for being there and being in control of what you can't be. If you start doing that, you'll begin to change. You'll begin to grow. You'll begin to fall in line with Jeff's ABCs. It's very good. ABCs of Christianity. But be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And He promises you the peace of God that'll pass all understanding. Will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He promises you peace. So when somebody's tormented and they're not at peace, they're not focused on God. They're allowing their mind to run ragged. They're just allowing their mind to run them ragged. They're allowing their mind to go the direction it wants to. Your mind will always go down. Your mind will always take you down. That's what depression is. Depression is inward thinking. Depressed. Get it? Inward thinking. Depression's a hole we fall into. And it's a hole we don't have to even go close to. You just got to tell your mind to hush. You got to ignore the thoughts that come at you. Yeah, but how do I ignore them, Pastor? Because they're really overpowering. No, they're not. They're overpowering because your cognitive mind is grabbing a hold of them and thinking about it and analyzing them and worrying. If you let them go right on overhead, you know where your mind's trying to lead you when certain thoughts come at you. You know exactly where your mind's going to lead you because it's led you there time and time and time and time again. And every time it leads you there, have you ever solved anything? Has anything good ever happened? Has anything good ever changed? Anything like that ever? No. The answer is no, it can't. Take captive every thought. Every thought. Bringing that into the obedience of Christ. How do we bring a thought into the obedience of Christ? Glad you asked. You speak to him about what you're thinking. God, is this thought from you or from me? Don't give the devil any thought. He was defeated over 2,000 years ago. You don't even have the keys to his own house. 1 Corinthians 5:18 says he can't even touch you if you pay attention, stay alert. So why do we give him so much thought? Well, we give him thought because he's the excuse for things we don't understand. And what we don't understand is what your mind's doing. And what your mind's doing is leading you down and away. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind of man is at enmity with God. It's a constant battle with God. Your flesh is constantly going to battle God. You live in your worst enemy. You live in it. I live in my worst enemy right here. My flesh. My flesh is in constant battle with God. Have you noticed? Have you noticed your mind and your flesh always wants to do what you know God don't want you to do? And it all starts in your mind. Every action begins in your mind, follows through with speaking, and following speaking, you act on it. Every action. Amen? So you see, why worry? Why worry? Your worry's not changing anything. I like verse 8, Philippians 4:8 says, if anything is pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, honorable, think on these thoughts. In other words, if it doesn't follow that litmus test of Philippians 4:8, then don't think on it. The Bible comes right down to telling you what you should and should not think about. And what's the Bible trying to do? The Bible's trying to wash your brain. Get it? Brainwash? Oh. It's trying to help you live within the realm of sanity. It's trying to help you live in the realm of peace and joy. You know what I used to think when I used to just begin to take captive my thoughts and tell my mind to sound and hush, and I refused to pay attention to it. I refused. Then the thought would come, you're just burying your head in the sand. Yep. I just began to agree. Yep. Yep, it is. And I like it there. So hush. After you agree with it there and you say, no, we're not going there. We're not going there. Your mind will begin to behave. I'm telling you. I've experienced it. Used to live in and out of depression. As every time the wind would change, I'd be depressed. What a pathetic way to live. I lived back in the day when the tranquilizers they gave me were things that ate holes in men's stomach. Now they just eat holes in livers and kidneys, and you really don't know it for a number of years. But back when it was eating a hole in my stomach, it gave me a bleeding ulcer, which alerted me to something. Whoa, this is not good. So I quit taking that battery acid and I began to take my mind. Say, mind, shut up. We're not going there. The only recourse I had, which happened to be the right one. So the first battle every Christian should learn to wage is the battle of the mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, what is it? Is that it? 4 and 5. Yeah. That's the first battle every Christian should learn to wage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. It has to do with what you allow your mind to do. Please, pay attention to that. Every antisocial or unsocial thing that people might do is all started by thoughts in the mind. You know, isolating is an unsocial way to behave. It goes totally against who God created you to be. Now, I know that there are some temperaments that you may not need as much social interaction as others, but nevertheless, isolation is antisocial behavior, which is thoughts started in your mind. And you know the thoughts that are in your mind? They're going to reject me. They're not going to like me. They're going to find the good about me. They're going to take advantage of me. They're not going to deal well with me. And so I just think rather than be rejected, I think I'll just stay away. Well, guess what? The results are the same. Rejection. Only it's not you being rejected. It's you rejecting others. Fear. See, all these things that your mind conjures up. Please understand. I'm telling you the truth. Sanity is one thought from depression. If you allow your mind to take you in the wrong direction, take you down, You're heading for depression. And then we get to that place in that act of depression. We get to that place where we feel like we deserve a little self-pity. And I want to pat myself on the back. Nobody else is. I want to pat myself. I want to treat myself special. I think I'll just lay here and vegetate until I smell like a dead whatever. That's not life. That's not pampering yourself. That's falling prey to your mind, which is constantly warring against God. And if it's warring against God, it's constantly taking you away from God. Yoo-hoo! Your mind will constantly take you away from God. Those who get close to God, first of all, learn to battle their mind and make their mind behave, and then they cry out to God and they pull on God, and God begins to pull on them. And I'm telling you what, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing when that happens. But until you take captive your thoughts, most of your prayer is going to be worry. Well, God, I don't know what to do here. God, help me. That's worry. See, that's not a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith knows who God is, knows what God wants to do, and speaks it into existence. God, I declare by faith in Jesus' name that you've got your arms wrapped around my wife and my children at home. There is no harm that can come near them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that. Ministering angels, go forth and minister to my family in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's prayer of faith. That's a whole lot different than a prayer of, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't know what should I do, God? What should I do? Should I be here? Should I be there? Should I be here? Should I be? Well, did God bring you here? Yes, He did. If He brought you here, then where should you be?
Here.
Right here. Well, yeah, but how am I going to deal with all the things at home? You're not. You were dealing with the things at home once, and that's why you're here. Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
That's the truth. See? You were dealing with it. That's why you're here. So now let God deal with everything else you can't deal with. You're just getting your eyes open to what you can and cannot do. And it's an okay thing. It's okay. Because now you got somebody bigger than you on your side. And if you learn to work with Him, things that He can do will far be superior to anything you've ever done or could do. You know, we all think we're pretty hot. But God knows we're not. God knows without Him we cannot do anything. I think that's in John 5. I think John 5. Is that John 5? Says, without me you can do nothing. Yeah, it is. Take my word for it. But with me, He says, great things can occur. Here's another thing. God needs partners on this earth. The partners on this earth He's going to be able to utilize and work through are those who do not allow their minds to mislead them. If you allow your mind to continue being in control, if you allow your minds to continue to mislead you, God can't use you. Why? He won't be able to depend on you. Why? Because you're going to be wishy-washy like the waves of the sea, tossed and torn by everything that comes along that's different. God needs you to be stable and solid, focused on Him, and everything else falling away. That's why He said, if you don't love me more than mother, father, husband, wife, children, parents, doesn't matter. If you don't love me more than them, then you're not going to be able to serve me in the kingdom. And if you once put your hand to the plow and turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. What does that mean? Does that mean you'll never be able to work in the kingdom? No, at that moment you're unfit for the kingdom. Why? You're looking backwards. You can't drive forward looking backwards. You got to look forward. You got to look where He is. He is in your future, leading you to your future. Yeah, but what do I do about all that back there? Let God take care of it. Seriously. Yeah. I remember the day I fully had to give up my wife, my children, my parents. My brothers had to give them up. Because why? They didn't understand where I was going and what I was doing. I knew I was following God, and they thought I was just stepped off the deep end of the pier. And I literally said, God, I'm going to follow you. I trust you with them. Whatever happens, happens. I trust you. I want what you have. And I made that physical choice and verbally spoke it that I was going to follow Him. And I was going to give up everything. I had to let go of my wife. I had to let go of my three daughters. That was hard. I had to let go of my land. I owned land. And guess what? I lost it because I had let go of it. Let go of it. He says, you can't come encumbered. Let go of it. Quit fighting to save everything. For if a man fights to save his own life, he'll lose it. But if he loses it for my sake, he'll find it. For no man has given up farms and fields and family and everything for the kingdom of God that has not reaped 100-fold. Farms, fields, families, and whatever. I got a big payday coming. I got a big payday coming. And I've already received much of that payday right here. See, listen, guys. Your mind hasn't got a clue about anything spiritual. You can't figure it out. The world teaches you to think about it, figure it out. Come on, analyze, think. God says, take captive every thought and be quiet. Trust me. Why should we trust our mind that's only one dimensional? It only knows what it knows. And why should we trust that over a God who knows everything and is willing to share whatever is needed to make our life good and powerful? How long did it take my family to come to the Lord and begin to flow with me? Oh, in some cases, several years. Several years. My parents, over 10 years. 10 years. 10 years they refused to talk about me and what I was doing because they didn't understand it. See, they're used to a religious church where you go in and sit down 45 minutes a day on Sunday and get up and go home, and you better be home for lunch. And the noon whistle blows at 12. That's the kind of church they're from. There was no relationship there. There was no deep understanding of the person of Jesus Christ or the power of the Holy Ghost. There was none of that there. So how could they know me? How could they understand? And then I remember one time, many years ago, I was pastoring. They made a surprise visit to me. And I was just beginning to, I was starting the service, and all of a sudden, there walks in my mom and dad. And I'm like, whoa, something's happening. Since then, there's been a huge change in my mom and dad. My wife had to give up her sisters and her brothers. One day her sister stayed with us and she came to church with us and got saved, for Pete's sake. And you know when she got saved? During the children's service. Yeah. I had a revival. I was in a church that had a revival one day, and we had this pastor from somewhere around here. I forget. I know his name, but I don't know where he's doing now, but he came and he was ministering, and the songs they were singing, everything they were doing was just lining right up, bam, 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 hitting us all. It was a wonderful, wonderful high, spiritual high. And he was leading the service and he gave altar call. And I thought, this is really strange. I was learning. I hadn't been pastoring very long. He gave an altar call about 30 minutes after he started the service. Right at, in my mind, at the beginning of the service, he was given an altar call. Those of you, I forget how it went now, but come forward. Oh my gosh. A woman comes walking up the aisle, kneels right down there beside me. Who had just before that, not too long before that, her and I was going at it. And she said, if I come to this Jesus of yours, it's going to be because of me, not because of you. I'm not going to follow you anywhere anymore. Well, she had every right to be that way. Here comes this woman up the aisle, and I'm there praying, God, please bring him forward, bring him forward. I don't know what this guy's doing. It's early in the service. I mean, is this crazy or what? And I open my eyes, and the altar's filled with people. I learned right then that God doesn't follow our worship service order. That was cool. That was a great lesson for me, and I looked right there, just in front and to my right a little bit, and guess who was? My wife. I was afraid to go pray with her. She just already told me, if I come to this Jesus, it's going to be because of me, not because of you. So I just made my mind be quiet. I said, shut up, mind. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. God, I trust you. I trust you. People were praying with the others all along there. Nobody's touching my wife. And the Lord said, I've ordained you her high priest. You lead her. Whew. I got the privilege of praying with my wife to come into Christ. She's been the most wonderful partner ever since. Can't beat her. Best partner I got. Best friend I got. Understands what I think, understands what I feel, understands where we're going. Because why? She's got a connection with heaven. She doesn't worry. She prays. Take captive every thought. It'll lead you in the opposite direction. You got to begin to practice that right now. Right now. Right now. And your mind begins to think and wander, and you tell your mind to sound hush. Hush. You refuse to entertain those thoughts that come at you. When your mind begins to worry and go in this crazy circle, and you begin to have these arguments in your head with yourself, and you just stop and think, hold it, wait a minute. I refuse to let that go on in my mind. Mind, hush. In Jesus' name. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I probably said those words more in my life than any other words. Hush, in Jesus' name. Lord, I trust you. I trust you totally, Lord. I don't know what to do with this, but I know one thing. God, you have my address and you know how to get a hold of me. So I'm just going to wait till you get a hold of me. And I just tell my mind, just sit down and be quiet. How do I know the difference between when God's getting a hold of me and when my mind's just running? Because my mind always goes, and your mind always goes negative. Always goes down, never takes you up. God will always empower you and lift you when He talks to you about the same subject. He'll never run you down, taking you down. Take captive every thought. Bringing it into the obedience of Christ. So that Christ, therefore, can now punish all disobedience that has been done against you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your design of life, because it's really quite simple when we follow you, and I thank you for that simplicity. I thank you, Lord, you're very accessible. You're always waiting on us. You're always right there. I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I just call upon you to stir the hearts and stir the minds of these men to take captive every thought. Refuse to let their mind lead them in a wrong direction. You know what the Lord just said to me? All acts of laziness start in the mind. Your mind says you can't. Your mind says you're tired. Your mind says, tell your mind it doesn't know a thing. God, I need your power. God, I need your strength. God, I need your direction. See, be more God-minded than mind-minded. Well, you're so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good. No, you're so earthly-minded, you're no heavenly good. See, that's the difference. Thank you, Jesus. Bless these men, Father. Bless them, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody believe, said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.